you're in the right place, you know. And I thought I'd begin. I've been seeking sort of stability and a sense of perspective, which I like. It's another word that's sometimes used for equanimity, perspective. And in words of wise beings on the planet who speak to me, so I thought I would go back to an old favorite to begin, and then we'll practice together in the simplest, most elemental way that we practice. So this is a quote by Jack Kornfield. He says, "Whatever your difficulties, a devastated heart, financial loss, feeling assaulted by the conflicts around you, or seemingly hopeless illness, you can always remember that you are free in every moment to set the compass of your heart to your highest intentions. In fact, the two things that you are always free to do, despite your circumstances, are to be present and to be willing to love." So, to be present and to be willing to love. So, you know, we live in the world, and in many ways, our world starts right here. It starts right here in the compass bearings of our own heart and mind. So the place we have the most agency to create the world that we want to live in is to start right here. It's what we do every time we practice, and it's what we're going to do today, right now, is to touch into the place that is our true home and to rest there, and then carry, you know, that with us out into the world. But for right now, you get to just come home. Come home. So I invite you to come home in the absolute most comfortable way. So if that involves shifting your position, if that involves, you know, lying down, because that is just what your body and spirit needs in this moment, is to like have as much contact with the ground, to let the ground teach you what groundedness feels like, just honor that. Honor that. And beginning to nest and rest. This is our practice. We begin again, and we arrive in just this moment, right here. Maybe taking a few slightly deeper breaths. And really bringing attention to the exhalation. Maybe even stretching out the next exhale. Pouring the breath out of your body in the way you might pour water out of a pitcher. And with each out-breath, inviting the possibility of a letting go of the tangle of thoughts, the cluster of worries in the heart, the tension in the body. We're not demanding that the body or the mind or the heart be any different than it is. But we're just opening up a channel for the possibility of some movement or flow with the breath. Maybe just one or two more slightly deeper breaths. And then letting the breath find a natural, easy rhythm. And you might, if your heart or your mind or your being is feeling tender in any way in this moment, you might invite in a hand to the heart or the belly or some other gesture of kindness. Just for a few breaths, even as a reminder to bring not only awareness, but loving, gentle, kind awareness to this moment and to yourself. Letting yourself feel the warmth, the pressure, the care that's being extended through this gesture. Seeing if you can really let the gesture land. Opening to receive the kindness to whatever degree is possible for your heart in this moment. A moment of acknowledgement, a way of saying to this body that might be holding so much in these uncertain times. It's a way of saying, I see you, I feel you. A way of acknowledging the ouch. Like, this is hard. Or this is scary. Or this is exhausting. and remembering that you're sitting in a room full of friends with their hands on their hearts, tapping into the common humanity. I'm not alone. I'm not the only one. It's really hard to be a human on the planet in this moment in time. And in addition to the kindness of your gesture, if you're offering one, there might also be a word or a phrase or an image of kindness that also could be a gift to your heart in this moment. Maybe it's a simple wish. May my heart know some ease today. May I be free from fear and worry. Or maybe there's even a sense of what would be comforting, some collective wish. You know, may we all know some relief. May we be safe. And letting this loving, connected presence permeate your practice today. You might choose to keep your gesture with you the whole time, or it might be more compassionate to let the hand rest, knowing that you can always, in any moment, bring it back in. This additional support. And you might let your practice be whatever feels most grounding or comforting or nourishing. Maybe for you, it's the quality of presence that you find through simply feeling and following the breath. Letting the breath be your anchor, your home base. or maybe you need something that feels more grounding, more solid or stabilizing, like a felt sense of the touch points, the feet on the floor, the body resting on the chair. And that's the most skillful place to come home to. Or maybe you need to really rest in a felt sense of kindness. Coming home to the felt sense of your gesture or wishes of kindness for yourself if you most need it, or for the world. Trusting your own heart and mind to find the home base that you need right now. Maybe letting go of what you're thinking about right now. And coming home to the moment. Coming home to what can be directly experienced here and now. Breath or body or kindness. coming home to this moment. Coming home to kindness. And as you rest in loving, connected presence with what is, perhaps taking a few moments to reflect on the cultivation of this clarity and this compassion be the origin, the seeds of the world that you wish to grow, that you wish to live in. And perhaps from this place of more connection with your own heart and mind, in the spirit of connection with the wider world, wishing for a world to live in where all beings know safety, stability, perspective, care, and kindness. May it be so. So, for those of you who have gallery view on, if you can see your friends here, I might invite you to just take a few moments and look at each other, like look into the eyes of goodness. I think when we're experiencing uncertainty and tension, you know, part of the fear is a sense of isolation, and our view gets very narrow, so it can be so helpful to widen the view and remember and really take in our community. It's good to have friends. It's so good to be with you. So, you know, in many ways, it's so good to come back to the basics in moments like this. You know, and to bring along a quality of tenderness to whatever degree you can. You know, so to start close to home with the care. And, you know, when we can care for our own hearts and minds through our practice, it's easier to care for the world, especially when the world, you know, disappoints us or isn't going exactly our way, or it's a bumpier ride than we anticipated, you know. So, it's a good time to tap into that practice of self-compassion in whatever form you practice it. If you do, and if you don't, you might consider taking it up as a practice. It can be as simple as a hand on the heart. I spend a lot of my life with my hand living right here, and it is deeply neurobiologically calming. You know, one of the things we know that soothes the human nervous system is touch. When we are anxious, when we're agitated, the elevator, you know, travels downward in the brain, and we end up in those regions of the brain of fight, flight, freeze, or faint. Sometimes we don't talk about the fourth F. But there's another response, which is sort of collapse. You know, we give up, faint. And in that space, we typically can't talk ourselves out of those states of being. And the language of those parts of the body, of parts of the brain, is somatic. So that's in part why a soothing gesture, whether it's a hand on the heart or a belly or your hands holding one another in your lap, or, you know, a hand on the cheek. There's so many variations, but some sort of kind touch actually invokes our neurobiology. It invokes our relational brain. And that's higher up. It starts to bring the elevator up. And so we can engage more fully. It's bringing more of our brain back online so that we can tap into the fullness of our resource. So that's one thing I would offer you in the coming days, when there's a lot of uncertainty probably ahead of us, and perhaps tension and stress in different forms, is to really use your neurobiology and tend to your nervous system so that you can hopefully stay engaged. Because whatever happens, our world's going to need us to keep caring. You know, we're going to need to be active participants. And we are more resourced to do that when our nervous system can stay online. So, you know, that's one piece. And really honoring that you know, that quote that I began with from Jack Kornfield, you know, that the two things that you're always free to do despite your circumstances are to be present and to be willing to love. So it's a really good time to consider, what are the compass bearings of your own heart and mind that you want to live by? It's the place we do have the most agency. And it's difficult practice when there's a lot happening. We may be sad, we may be angry, we may be scared. And can we continue to act from a place of love? All transformational, you know, movements throughout history have typically arisen from and been sustained from a place of love. You know, we look at what Gandhi did in India, what Martin Luther King inspired in our own country. These were movements that came out of a place of loving, connected presence. So this is our practice. One of my favorite quotes that it was on the wall, actually, last night. I looked up and it was funny, we were sitting there and it's on the wall in my partner's house, and I was like, how perfect is this? So it inspired me to pull it out of my folder today. It's by the Dalai Lama, and I'll just offer you this before we have a chance to connect with one another. It says, he says, never give up. No matter what is going on, never give up. Develop the heart. Too much energy in your country is spent developing the mind instead of the heart. Be compassionate, not just to your friends, but to everyone. Be compassionate. Work for peace in your heart and in the world. Work for peace. And I say it again, never give up. No matter what is going on around you, never give up. It's a good message. So I think I'd like to gift you all a little time in breakout groups to connect for a few minutes, to share, you know, what's in your heart, what helps you not give up, what helps you find a sense of grounding or balance in what's unfolding here. Or maybe there's something you want to speak about. What's the world you want to live in? And we'll just take maybe 7 minutes and let you connect, and then I'll come back for a final sharing and poem. So I will put us into breakout rooms, and I hope you enjoy connecting with one another. And I'll see you in a little while. And those of you who I know have to go, it's good to have you here. Take good care. Oh, I just realized I didn't click open all rooms. I was like, why are you all still here? That's so funny. I'm like, it's my brain's not totally here, I guess. Welcome back. Welcome back to everyone who's still with us. I just want to offer a few minutes if there's anything that wants to be shared or spoken. Thank you. That's beautiful, Ellen. Warms my heart to hear you share that. I appreciate the honesty in what you're sharing, and I'm really hearing vulnerability as a common theme, and it really can give us pause, it can wake us up, it can sometimes cause us to want to curl up and hide, and sometimes vacillate between those two places. And I think it's really important to gift space for whatever's arising, the vulnerability, and to be gentle with yourself. And there's things we know and there's things we don't know, so it's also helpful to have a dose of don't know mind. We're not done yet. And I think part of what you're speaking to is that the suffering and the hurt is not going to be fixed by any particular outcome. That there's some very deep healing that needs to happen, and so, you know, part of what I hope for in this group and in whatever other groups you're part of is that there are places like this that can help hold you in your heart, and that practice is a way of cultivating resiliency and resource to be part. You know, it's like Gandhi says, be the change. You know, it's like, be the change you want to see in the world. And I think that's our path forward. And, you know, I'll be here and we'll be here. So we'll just keep walking one step at a time. So I'll just close with a poem. Yeah. One of my favorite authors is, those of you who are here on Wednesdays often know, Rosemary Wotola Tromer. And this was the a poem written for today. It's called Meeting This Moment. There was that night when the cats were frightened because they saw a feral butterscotch cat outside the door. And for days they yowled and shrieked at each other out of fear of what they didn't understand, intimidated by what they didn't know how to fight. So they fought each other. Displaced aggression, said the vet, and she encouraged us to give them space. Today, when the news is full of butterscotch cats that come to my door, I understand the instinct to wail, to caterwaul. I understand the impulse to fight with someone, anyone, to raise my voice, to find my claws, to hiss and arch and attack in an effort to discharge this aggression that pumps in me, churns like a river in flood stage, filled with debris and mud. And that is when some inner voice, a voice so quiet it's almost impossible to hear, suggests, singing is still an option. Suggests, can you shine in this moment? Suggests, if you choose to speak only love, if you choose to give space, how might that change the only thing you are able to change? So, may your spirit feel love, may your spirit feel space, and may your spirit feel connection. Remember your people. Carry us with you into whatever comes next. And I'll look forward to hopefully seeing you all next week. Yeah. Take such good care.